All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. Let every kindred, every tribe on this terrestrial ball to him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all. To him all majesty ascribe and crown him Lord of all.
All right, amen. Thank you for the wonderful singing.
So let's pray and then we'll preach and let you get home. Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for a place to proclaim the living word of God. We believe you said what you meant and meant what you said. And we thank you so much that we see the world disintegrating around us, falling apart. And it's not the tribulation, but as you said, describing the tribulation, you will have the nations in derision. They won't know what to do. In fact, you've told us, as a matter of fact, they'll be shooting each other, people in the same army. They'll be so confused, they won't know what to do. We're well headed on that direction. Thank you for your kindness and your mercy. Be with those here who are ill and due for operations, and be with Ruby, of course, as she's still continuing to fight, and Frankie and Jay and others we can name who have different ailments that only you can solve. And we as are not selfish and just saying, "Will help us for no more." We say, "Your will be done in every case, for we are in a position where we cannot lose." In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Well, we finally found out, and I have to apologize to the President of the United States. Doubt that I'll be seeing him personally, but if you do, tell him that I am sorry that I chided him for talking about global warming, and I shouldn't have been on his case so bad. I still don't think it's our most major problem, as he does, but we'll tell you about global warming in just a minute. Be sure to pray for the families of those who lost lives this week, and I don't know why people keep 24/7 keep that before the American public. Let it go. It's over. Okay, and work on the solution. And I met a man from Pennsylvania that got folks coming here from Pennsylvania this morning and yesterday, and he had just moved to town, bought a house. He and his wife had retired and got in the conversation and talked about several things, and during the course of the conversation, talking about the craziness of shooting the police people in the streets, and other people can be hurt too, and then the whole nation, you know, we don't know who's for who, everybody's against everybody else, and it has fallen apart. That's what has happened. And but he asked me one question. We had talked to him. He was a Catholic gentleman, and he didn't know a great deal about theology, but he knew enough to understand what I was going to tell him. And he said, "Well, preacher, how will it end? What can we do? We got the college professors and the higher ups with the IQs and the important people, so-called, of the world meeting together, trying to find out what can we do. not just with us, but with the entire world. And he said, how is it going to end? And I said, oh, I know that. Yeah, and I told him how it was going to end, and I don't guess he slept a whole lot last night, but we know how it's going to end. And if you brought a Bible, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, and we start at verse 9 and read a little bit and then expound the scriptures. It said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, global warming. The earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. So in those short verses, I hope you understood what global warming really is going to be. It has nothing to do with icebergs and polar bears. And the brightest, supposedly, of our scientists are standing before glaciers saying, in 3,000 years, this won't be here if we don't do something. Well, my friend, I appreciate your IQ. It's got to be higher than mine. However, in 3,000 years, this is not your problem. Your problem right now is going to be this global warming. What are you going to do about this global warming? For you stand in the last days, not the last days of the world, but the last days, the last age of the church. It is just about over. Even the scientific community has a clock. They call it the doomsday clock. That's the point in time where the world can no longer function. And they started moving that up years ago when it was, they decided it was quarter till doomsday. And then they moved it up a little by increments as things got worse and worse. And just a couple of months ago, they moved the doomsday clock to 2 minutes to 12. 2 minutes. They realize you can't do it. We can't feed everybody. Okay. I saw a commercial, as I'm sure you see them on your TV, and it said in 50 years, that the farmers are going to have to grow twice as much food on half as much land as they do now to keep the world fed. You can't do that. Hungry people steal food. I wouldn't be a Mormon for anything. Because Mormons are wrong theologically, but they have another problem. All Mormons are drilled and taught to have a year's food supply in their house, in their basement or wherever, and most of it is dried food where you just add water or the things of that nature. And so they are prepared to live their family's food supply for 1 year. Problem is, everybody doesn't have any food, knows this. And as soon as there's a food shortage, the Mormons are going to be overrun because everybody knows that's where the food is. I see an ad from some company and they're trying to get ready for this. They aren't doing it from a Christian basis because they aren't Christian based. But they got these packages, you've seen them, and it says it has a 25-year life on it. And all you have to do is add water and your family can eat, because you have these bags of beans and meals they've made up and dried and freeze-dried and all that. And that's all good and all, except they forgot one major part. The major part is where you're going to get the water. Because if there's a nuclear war, and obviously there's going to be, you can't drink the water. The water will be polluted, radiated. You drink that, you'll drop dead within hours. Looking at your bag of food that you're supposed to add water to. That's not the answer. So that man asked me, what is the answer? And I said, I knew he was a Catholic, that he had heard at least that the Lord was coming again. And that's the only answer, my friend, is the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only possible answer. And nobody will read about it. Most churches won't preach about it. And nobody wants to talk about it. Why? Well, it scares me. Then you better check your salvation. The day you die won't be your worst day if you're a Christian. It will be your best one. Old Dr. Seitler, I can hear him now. He said, one day some folks from the church are going to call you on the telephone and tell you that Dr. Seitler has passed away. Don't you believe a word of it. I'm going to pass from here to heaven in an instant. Quicker than the twinkling of an eye. Absent from the body is immediately present with the Lord. My last day will be my best day. And to a man who is lost, that sounds insane, does it not? Of course it doesn't. And people say, well, I'm just scared to die. Don't worry about it. Dying's quick. You just quit breathing. That's it. It's over. Right? What's scary about dying is what happens then. I had a friend who was the president of a small college. And he was a good Christian man, and he'd ask the students every now and then what they were thinking. You know how you do. And he was going to eat dinner at the dinner hall there on campus and walked alongside a student. Said, what's your name? And he told him. He said, well, I'm president. So he said, yeah, I know who you are. He said, where are you going? And the fellow said, well, I'm going to go over here to dining hall, eat lunch. It's about 12 o'clock. He said, yeah, I am too. What then? He said, well, I have a biology lab. I have to go to the science building around 2 o'clock for a class, about an hour. I got to go to that. He said, well, that'll be over at 3. What then? And he kept on asking him, what then? What then? And the guy would answer, and he said, well, how you doing in class? I'm doing good. So what grade you in? Said, I'm a senior. I finished this year. He said, boy, that's great. Congratulations. What then? He said, well, I'm planning to go to law school. Want to be a lawyer. He said, boy, that's good. Good profession. Probably make a lot of money. Opportunity to help some people. What then?
She said, I'm going to practice law, and I hope to be, you know, governor someday. He said, well, yeah, everybody ought to have a good positive attitude and a definite major purpose, and that's wonderful, an ambition to be governor someday. He said, what then? He said, well, I'll serve the people as long as I can, as long as they'll have me, and then I'll retire. And he said, sounds like a plan. What then? He said, well, Dr. Johnson, I guess in a few years then I'll just die. And he said, right. What then? And that was really the only what then that really mattered, wasn't it? Because all the other plans, whether fulfilled or not, they're in the past. It's over. It doesn't matter about them. Okay. What then? So God has told us that we will see the world fall apart here. And it's interesting, verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. Somebody did it to me the other week, unknowingly. I said, what are you going to preach on so-and-so? And I said, well, I'm preaching on the nearness of the return of the Lord. And they said, well, you were preaching on that 15 years ago. I said, does that bother you? And it didn't come in the last 15 years? My dad had preached on it for 50. He had a friend who preached on it every Sunday night for 50 years in Toronto. In fact, if you get your Bible out, they've been talking about the return of the Lord for more than 2,000 years. And the last 15 has really got you troubled, does it? That's a long time to you, is it? 15 years? Bible says a day with the Lord like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years like a day. Don't discuss time with he who invented it. You're going to lose. So we find out that it's not God's fault that most people on earth have chosen to go to hell. It was their choice. He said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, not willing that any should perish. It's the will of God that everybody is saved. There's a group of people who preach everybody will be saved. Everybody going to heaven. As sooner or later, everybody will recognize who God is and who Christ was, and that they're assured of going to heaven. Nobody's going to hell. As a matter of fact, they don't even believe in hell. That's not what the Bible says. He wants all to come to repentance. Well, you mean this is the will of God, and the will of God is not going to happen? That's exactly right. That I'll give you an opportunity to be saved. But I'm not going to save you just because you're a human being. Not going to happen. If a man wants to hear the gospel and is truly seeking God, this book says God will find him. He might be in the middle of a jungle and a missionary finds him. I know of weird cases where somebody was seeking God, walking down the street of an African country, and they wanted to find God, and nobody there preached Christianity. And she passed by a hotel, and the wind blew a Bible out, landed on her foot. So she finally had a Bible and went home and could read English and read it, and got saved. Known the people who were drowning and reached out for a board, and on the board was a gospel tract. Somebody on the ship was giving out gospel tracts. And one was stuck to the board they were grabbing for as a life preserver.
Might as well read it. You ain't got nothing else to do out there in the ocean. Read it, got saved. Many other people are saying, and we got Kenny. What's Kenny's last name, Richard? I can't hear. Kenny. And Kenny is on the verge of going home to meet the Lord, according to the doctors. A couple of days left. Kenny's walking out here one Sunday, looked in here, said, what are they doing? Listened a little bit, went on his way and met Jack. They were friends, and Jack witnesses to the rich. He's our Donald Trump witness. Jack's a member of the club out here that you and I aren't allowed to go to. I call that bridge the white trash bridge. And you and I aren't allowed to go over there. But Jack plays tennis over there. And right in the middle of all of them, he'll talk about the Lord. And Kenny is brought to church, but Jack accepts the Lord as his Savior. This is just a few years ago. And it won't be but a couple of days, according to the physicians, that he will be with the Lord. That will make you think, won't it? Because it could have been you. And it could have been me. I don't know that this isn't my last day. But the day of the Lord, that's when Jesus comes, what I was telling the man from Pennsylvania. Day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. How does a thief come? He didn't come down the street blowing the horn, slamming the door when he gets in your driveway, making a lot of racket, trying to get in the second story window. A thief can come in your house, take your stuff, and leave, and you won't know it till morning. A good thief is quiet as a cat. That's the way it's going to happen. There's not going to be an NFL two-minute warning. It's not going to be now, listen up, because tomorrow I'm coming back. The Bible says his coming is imminent. He can come at any time. Before we finish another sermon or another day or another sentence, he can come. We don't know. We're to be ready to go with him. That's all. We step here on pavement, and the next step may be on gold. We don't know. Isn't it funny that Scripture tells us that we use roads made of dirt and stone and think we've done something? And we do have a nice highway system over here. But angels use our most precious material as asphalt. And if you get to heaven and start bragging about how much money you got, an angel's going to ask you, what is this? You're the third one today that keep talking about money. What is money? We don't have money up here. Oh, money is a medium of exchange. You know, I give you so much money, and you give me so many tomatoes, or, you know, it's just a medium of exchange. He said, is it valuable? They said, oh, yeah, you can't get by without it. You have to have something to exchange for your food and all that. And he said, well, how does it judge? How is the worth of that judged? He said, it's judged by the gold standard. He said, gold is your highest standard? Well, yeah. He said, well, I really hate to open this gate and let you in, because we use that stuff for dirt. We use that for streets. You don't know what wealth is. You don't know what exchange is. Our Savior, who we're going to introduce to you in a little bit, I'm going to carry you to the throne room, and you will then, just by seeing him, understand what salvation was worth to you. You'll get some idea of what really happened. By being saved, you exchange that for punishment in hell forever. How's that for a gold standard? What would you give Judgment Day when you stand in front of the Lord Jesus Christ and he's going to ask you, we have your sins listed there on the board there. Everybody in the world will see them. How do you account for this? And you got to give an account for all your sins in front of everybody. Man, that's going to be a bad day. I'm a Christian, and when they see what I've done, don't worry about that. If you're a Christian, your sins are washed away. You won't even be at that judgment. That judgment is 1,000 years after the Lord takes the Christians out of this world. Now understand, in the Hebrew, he says, I will remove you from the day of wrath. Not save you during half of it. Some good Christian people believe in the rapture of the church will happen 3.5 years into the tribulation. Pat Robertson believes that. You can not hardly say Pat Robertson is not a Christian. Of course he is. He just has misunderstanding there. When the first trumpet blows, I want to be in on that. I don't want to have to wait for half the tribulation to pass under me, or all of it, or 3/4 of it, as some people teach. No, the Bible says he will take us out, remove us from the wrath of God. For it's hot here today, and today it's going to be 100 degrees, and we have little fans going, and we have the semi-automatic air conditioner. I see some of y'all have found that. But this is nothing. This is nothing. Lousy 100 degrees today. It'll be 120 in Arabia today and tomorrow and about all year. See? That's not hot. No, hell's hot. And here come the liberals. Well, I just don't believe a loving God could punish. Wait a minute. A loving God wills that all should come to repentance. He wants everybody to be saved. No matter who you are, no matter what you have done, no matter where and who with, and no matter how many times, he has promised if you will ask him for forgiveness, he'll give it. I know, and you know, some people that just cannot tell you enough of what a sinner they used to be. And you look at them and say, you ain't done nothing. You ever been to Argentina? I went to seminary with a gentleman who was from Venezuela. And we had finished up, and he had a Volkswagen bus. And showed me the map. He had to go to California down through South. I mean, it was a terrible trip he had in front of him, going to be a missionary. And he was a grown man, had a wife and kids, and dedicated his life to the Lord and was going to do it because he believed all should have an opportunity to be saved. And I admired him. I said, is it bad down there? He said, Beaver, y'all don't even have any pornography. I said, what? He said, y'all don't even have any. You go to South America and you can go to a carnival off the street and you have women making friends with donkeys and pigs. and all kind of things like this. This is the grossest sins you ever thought of. And he said in the magazines on our shelves in the drugstore, you don't even want to know about it. Y'all just think you have pornography. And you've seen enough here to know that what we have is pretty rotten. But what the world has is totally a total debacle. I mean, it is total filth. And where do we put it? I used to get mad at 7-Eleven and the other convenience stores. I don't mind speaking up, as you know. I go to the convenience store to buy a Coke or whatever. Come up to pay for it, and here's the magazine. Two lesbians on the cover doing what they do. Two faggots on the next cover doing what they do. Well, you shouldn't call them faggots. Okay, two queers. Go ahead and call it what it is. Do you think that's normal? That's normal behavior, what's going on? It shouldn't be set apart as, oh, me, let's help these people. It ought to be condemned to hell, called what it is, and never brought up in decent company is what it is. Well, that's not politically correct. I knew that when I said it. So we find out, we end up, bless your heart, I don't know what your political leanings are, but I finally had enough. When our president goes to Poland for information on how to run things, I mean, you have reached the bottom of the line, man. When you go to ask the Poland people, I mean, they were a standard joke around the world forever. And they over there having a convenience while we shooting policemen in the street at home. You don't have an airplane anymore, Mr. Obama. Your place, as soon as that happened, was on that plane heading for Washington, D.C., and stand up and tell your people what you intended to do about it. Oh, that's right, you did. You stood up in Poland and told them nothing, because that's what you're going to do about it. It's over, folks. It's over. We know that. Sad about it? Not really. Glad about it. Why? Get to see my daddy again. Get to see my sweet little mama again, my brother. Get to see preachers I've known through the years and who taught me the scriptures. And in all that, I get to see the face of my Savior that died for me. Exactly why should I be sad? Well, I know. Well, that day will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements, as the stars and the planets, shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Mr. Obama, you're correct. Global warming is coming, but it's not the one you're thinking about. And you keep saying you're a Christian without any evidence thereof. And if you don't repent of your sins and ask Christ to forgive them, you're going to be in on the global warming, my man. Because the position of President of the United States of America means absolutely nothing to the President of the universe, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't even get to stand in his company. How sad. How sad for the lost. Okay. Seeing then, now that you know this, that all things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation, meaning the way you live, and godliness? God's asking you a question. Now that I've told you my plan, he said, now that I show you how the earth is going to make such a mess of the things, now that you see people rejecting me in my church, now that you see the whole world turning once again against Christianity, what kind of person ought you to be if you claim to be one of mine? The main reason Christianity is failing is what the old, what's the Indian guy with the little glasses and was Jack, what's the man's name? Pastor, no, Rabbi is alive today. The little dude that defeated Britain with his, somebody pass that, Gandhi, yeah. Gandhi was a brilliant lawyer. Most people don't know that. And he wanted to free his country from the British. And he was smart enough to know that we cannot defeat them with armament. So we'll defeat them with pacifism. And he did. And it finally came around to someone questioned him and said, Mr. Gandhi, why aren't you a Christian? He said, because I know too many Christians. Didn't see much value in being one. And today, right where we live, if we don't start wearing crosses around our neck or get a tattoo on our forehead, you won't be able to tell the Christians from the non-Christians anymore. We believe in buffet Christianity. Like when you go to K&W, the restaurant up at Cane's and Walker's, and everybody's choosing what they want, you know, green beans or whatever, and here they go. That's Christianity as a whole today. Well, I'll do this part, but I'm not going to quit this. I don't mind doing that, but I had a judge sit right over there when we filled up the dance floor with it years ago. A friend of mine. And he came, he's an intelligent man, he's a judge, wealthy man, listened. And when it was over, he said, well, Beaver, I enjoyed your sermon and appreciate your little place here. And I said, well, thank you. We're glad you came, Judge. And he said, I believe what you say. And what was really good news to me, because I knew him. And he said, I believe what you say, but I'm still going to chase women and drink liquor. I just let it go because he just told me he did not believe. He did not understand. And he was not going to follow what Christ has said to do. Therefore, he's going to hell if he don't repent and change and get saved. And then they tell me how often they go to church. Well, I'll have you know, I go to the whatever church down here. I've been a member for 10 years. Well, that's good. Are you saved? Am I what? Son, what did you learn for the last 10 years? Did your preacher tell you that you're going to hell? Well, you know, we don't talk about that. So many people get upset. I said, you think they're upset now? Wait later. Well, how do you know so much? Well, I don't know so much, but I can read. Well, our preacher says, I don't care what he says, he's 2,000 years late. The Lord Jesus Christ said, you repent of your sins, metanoia, that means to walk in an opposite direction, or you're lost. Well, that's not fair. It's perfectly fair. I gave you opportunity. I sent preachers your way, missionaries your way. Your grandmother prayed for you when you were a child and even had you on your knees when you were 4 years old, saying your nightly prayers. God is good. God is great at the dinner table. And then if I die before I wake, well, we don't say that anymore. Well, you should. That's great theology. If I die before I wake, please my soul to take. That's repentance. That's asking for forgiveness. You mean a four-year-old who can't read yet understands that, and the seminary professor can't? Well, he's got a higher IQ than you do. Probably all of them do. So did Marilyn Monroe. Did you know Marilyn Monroe wasn't your basic missionary? You gathered that, I imagine, through the program. Marilyn Monroe had an IQ of 158. 160 is considered genius. And she was very smart, but she couldn't understand the simplicity of you are a sinner, and if you don't have a Savior, you will pay for it. Billy Graham went to see Marilyn Monroe, flew to California, had an appointment with her, and went to her place. And he's such a nice man, and just quietly talked with her, explained the gospel in simplicity, gave her the opportunity to accept Christ as her Savior, and she said no. Wasn't long for some very influential people had her killed. Oh, well, I know what you thought. You thought what the newspaper told you. That's not what happened. They had her killed with 158 IQ and no Savior. She had everything in the world. No, she didn't have salvation. It's the only thing you can take with you, by the way. I don't carry a cell phone. I guess I'm the only one here who doesn't. Ann gave me one, and after a few months, she said, have you learned to use that thing yet? I said, no, but I have some pictures of a lot of people I don't know. I mean, I didn't know what button to press and all that. The heck with it. All right. But if God calls you personally, and I can't believe the ignorant people who say, well, if God would speak to me, he just wrote you 27 letters. How many of them have you read? He did speak to you. He spoke to you through your preachers, through your teachers, through your Sunday school teachers, for your grandmother, through your uncle who was a wild-eyed street preacher and you thought he was crazy. And no, you crazy for not listening to him. He's already spoken to you. How can any man with half a brain stand on that beach and look at that ocean and not wonder where it came from? Not to mention what's in it, and they don't even know all that yet. Not to mention why the tide comes in twice today. Have you noticed it never comes over the pavilion? Did you know God said, I've set the bounds on the ocean. It can only go so far. And I say, uh-uh. No problem. And we sing, how great thou art, and then we forget about it. every day I look at something that just totally reminds me of the greatness of God. Not giving us life, not resurrecting from the dead, not healing the blind, sick, and crazy. I'm amazed when I'm sitting out on the porch drinking a little iced tea and a little bug, not as big as the head of a pin, which is very small, flies down, lands on the banister, walks around a little bit, finds a little something to eat or drink over here, and then stoop, he's gone again. Mother, you got to be kidding. Won't you make one of those? Make a frog. Make a lizard. They're conquering space again. I guess you saw that. Now they want to go to Mars because they went to the moon. Could I ask one question? Yeah, what did you find on the moon? Nothing. Then why bother trying to go to the rest of them? And we got people sleeping on the street in our cities. We're sending Saudi Arabia, which floats on oil, to the point that in the summertime like this, in Saudi Arabia, the ground is so soaked with oil that it's floating on, that the ground will just burst into fire sometime. And we're sending them money. And then we take the money and send it to Iran. $250 billion. In 1 week, they captured 2,300 of our, what I call, Jeeps. What did he all call? Humvees. 2,300. We are paying people to kill our people with our weapons, and we got a bunch of fools that can't understand that. What should we do? The same thing you should do when you find a bunch of rattlesnakes in your backyard where your children play. Go and eliminate them. Not one, because there's 15 more. Not 14, because you still left one that can kill you, but eliminate one. I said, I want to get a thing for my car. I would get one, but one of these towel heads would blow my car up. The solution to the problem the world is in, especially America, and you'll find I'm right, is to make Islam Waslam. Right? Right? You hear me listening? Mm-hmm. And I got a friend who gonna do that. Named Jesus Christ. And if you read your Bible, you'll find out that they're going to come down on Jerusalem. Russia is, China is, Arabia is, Iran is, Afghanistan is. They surrounded now, and now they want half of it to make them a capital. Wouldn't give it to them. It was given to the Jews. And you see this going on, and people can't understand what's going on. It's like the old story. Remember Tonto and the Lone Ranger? You know, the Tonto and the Lone Ranger, they out in Texas, and they having problems because they got pinned down by some Indians, and there's 10,000 Comanches over here, and 5,000 Apaches coming this way, and 10,000 Navajos coming this way, and 10,000 Blackfeet coming from behind them. And Lone Ranger turns to Tonto and says, well,
what are we going to do? And Tonto said, what do you mean we, white man? I've had enough. I can see defeat when I see it coming. And when Israel, who's given to the Jews by God, he's also given them his protection. And the Bible reads that the sons of Esau, Jacob the Jew, Esau the Arab, the sons of Esau are Edomites in the Bible. Okay? And the sons of Edom will be wiped out on the hills of Jerusalem. This was written before there were hills of Jerusalem. That's what's going to happen. Well, who's going to save the Jews? Their big brother is going to save them. For it said the Lord Jesus will stand at the gates of Jerusalem and he'll have them in derision to the point of shooting each other, not knowing what to do. And they all will be wiped out on the hills of Jerusalem. Thank God for his promises. We got some hard times to go through. We'll just go through them. Because we already read the end of the book. And Jesus wins. And if you don't know him as your Savior, you need to take care of that today. Whether you're here, watching by webcam, wherever. Where you sit, you don't have to come up here. I'm through. I've done all I can for you. But if you've never bowed your head in prayer and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I know what you know it. I understand that you will forgive all sin just because you love me. And just because I accept it and I call on you for forgiveness. And if you will do that quietly where you sit, he'll do his part. He's done it for Jerusalem. They're back in the land, as you see, after 2,000 years. He did it for America till we're finally pushing him out of our borders once more. And he will do it for you. So we close in prayer. If you haven't accepted Christ, you do that today. You don't have to come up here. If you want to, I'll pray with you. But think how good God's been to me and you. People have always asked me and friendliness, and I'm glad that they do. It's just a common thing to say, how you doing? And that's doing all right, you know. I want to say, you wouldn't believe it if I stood here and told you. I live like a king. No king had air conditioning. No king had running water inside the house. No king could have a nice bed like I sleep on. No king could have the food I eat every day. No king had refrigeration to keep his food good. In fact, in England, they waited till the turkey rotted before they cooked him. Not none of me. I said, partner, you don't know how good I'm doing. And by the way, every now and then, I can pay the bills. You that wealthy too, if you know him. And if you don't, you meet him today, okay? Shall we pray? Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how good you are. What mercy you've shown in the past and what mercy you still show today. And as we just read, you're willing that all be saved. That not one be lost. It was your will that your blood would cover all sin and that all people would be washed in it. And still people reject you. I pray for them that they'll see the light before it's too late. Help us to do thy will.
keep the folks who watch on the webcam and are here today out of this terrible heat. May the heat pass and we get back to just good old South Carolina southern living that you provided for us. Thank you for saving me. Please be with Ann at home and touch your illness, if you will, and Frankie too. In Christ Jesus' name I pray, and for his wonderful, glorious, saving sake. Amen.
Sinner.